Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Thank you so much for staying with us. This is now one of those times, one of our favorite features on a Monday. It's called Impact, where we discuss just wonderful things that South Africans are doing. It's sometimes an organization, sometimes it's a person that you may know, may not know. But these are people who are shifting the needle ever so slightly amidst all the difficult conversations that we sometimes have and sometimes very depressing. So I have on the line with me today, founder and CEO of Shared Value Africa, Tiki Barnard, to talk about something really interesting that I think is coming through that you should know about. But we'll also speak about Shared Value Africa. The event is called EU Africa Summit 2025. And we'll start with introducing Tiki. Thank you so much for coming through this evening. Welcome to Point of View.
Thank you very much for the invitation. And good evening to your listeners. And I'm in Kenya at the moment, so yes. We're an hour behind you. So, so we are at 22:28. Yeah, that's our time.
You're there
too. So nice to be with you.
Lovely. You're there to launch Shared Value Africa now, right? In Kenya.
We're launching Shared Value Kenya.
Yes.
Our country chapter. Yeah. Yes. So tomorrow, the 27th of May, we're launching Shared Value Kenya. And then in last year, we launched our country chapter in Nigeria, Shared Value Nigeria. And hopefully, God willing, at some stage, maybe later in the year, Ethiopia, because, we're trying to look at all of these big, I almost want to say big economies where one could make some small little difference, in the lives of those that are less privileged than what we are.
So let's talk about what Shared Value Africa is, obviously being the mother body. And you've just spoken about how you're going to be spreading your wings in all these different regions. What is Shared Value Africa?
So Shared Value Africa is a advocacy organization, and we advocate for the adoption of the business management model called Creating Shared Value. Now, Creating Shared Value sort of ask businesses to look at what their social and in their environmental impact is. So we're not saying that, Mr. CEO, you can't make money. We want you to make money, but we want you to really look at how are you treating the communities in which you operate, and how do you make your money, because it is about profit with purpose.
I was going to ask, how that journey has been. The impression, obviously, is that there will always be resistance because I don't want to think about how I'm affecting my community. It may cost me more money. You may be asking me to be more ethical, and it's too much trouble. Sometimes it's not that I don't want it, but too much admin, and I just don't have it. I don't have the capacity to do that and monitor and.
The journey hasn't been easy, but it has been very fulfilling, I have to say, because there are some brands, there are some organizations where leadership have really stepped up, and taken purpose as that they want to entrench in their business as well. So there's some really great examples of brands that are doing it across the continent, and I mean I'm now here in Kenya and I can talk about that. I mean, Safaricom in Kenya, their purpose is to transform lives. So for them, from an organization perspective, it's got to be driven by leadership. That's what needs to happen, is that, but their purpose, transforming lives, actually is embedded in every single product that they develop or that they produce for their communities and for their consumers. I guess the best example of that is M-Pesa.
Yes.
So M-Pesa has changed so many lives. You know, it's given people access to financial services that they've never had before. So did Safaricom make money? Yes, they did make money because it was profit with purpose. But they changed so many people's lives in the process. And that's the type of thing what shared value is about. How can we as business do good while doing good business and affect our communities in a way that they also prosper and that they also benefit, you know, out of what we're doing as businesses?
Give us an example of a company like that in South Africa.
Well, your biggest example, your global example, actually comes from South Africa, which is Discovery. Okay, that's a different. So, what Discovery does, as we all know, they try and incentivize us to stay healthy. Yeah. So, if we stay healthy, they're addressing health, one of the Sustainable Development Goals. Mm. And what they do is by incentivizing us to stay healthy, they keep their costs down because we don't go to hospitals, we don't go to the doctor, we stay healthy, we go to gym, we eat healthy, you know, and also even from a mental capacity as well, you know, we're more healthier individuals. So that's, Discovery in South Africa. There are other brands in South Africa as well, you know, and I want to say to the listeners tonight is that not all brands get it 100% right.
Yes, yes. You know, but it's the willingness the intention.
Yeah, absolutely. That the intention needs to be there, you know, to do good. Because I think if we go to the mining industry, which we often look at very critically, okay? So the mining industry are known from, the extractive industry that they don't really look after their communities. Mm. You know, they go into a community, they might even have to move people out of the land that they're on in order to, you know, to start their digging and everything. But I think that what's happening, what we see with some mines, you know, that there is a shift. But again, I want to say it has to come from leadership. You have to have a leadership whose heart is in the right place, whose mind follows his heart, you know, to ensure that he actually have embedded that culture within his organization.
Tiki, you know, you've given us a really good examples that people can recognize very, very easily. But I want to know where this idea came from. What was the thinking behind that?
So the concept of creating shared value, if you think about it, it's really our Ubuntu, you know, where we really care about each other and we care about those, you know, that's around us. And I think for me, Ubuntu is what Michael Porter and Mark Kramer did. This is what I always think, is that the concept comes from Harvard. Mm. So Michael Porter and Mark Kramer, professors, economists, well-known global economists, they, years ago, what they did is they focused on corporate social investment. Mm. So corporate social investment is that money that you give as a organization, you know, to communities, to maybe go and paint a school, to start a food kitchen, but there was never really a proper impact that was measured from a business perspective. Mm. So then they sat down and said, how can we make this more impactful if business really start looking at doing good while they are doing business? So if we think about the sort of definition of the concept of creating shared value is about profitably addressing societal and environmental issues through the core operations of a business. So for Michael and Mark, when they sat down and came up with this concept probably about 14 years ago, you know, it started off at It took off in America, so we're part of a global network, you know, of organizations across the continent that's trying to get business to buy into this concept, you know, and shifting their mindsets.
And you know, you mentioned that it wasn't easy. What's the resistance about?
Exactly what you said in the beginning. It's about, are we now going to invest money to change our operations? You know, are we going to invest money to put more money into communities? Are we going to, and how, what is, how is that going to affect our bottom line? Because creating shared value is a long-term investment that you make in your business, because you've got to look at it from a social and an environmental perspective. I mean, you know, even to get people to invest from an environmental perspective is difficult, but it's a lot easier, you know. But if you, you try and get them to invest from a societal perspective, from a social perspective, that's even more difficult, you know, because people wants to satisfy the shareholders. And this is what we're saying. You need to look after all your stakeholders.
That is, that is, it's a huge one, because oftentimes the intention may be to be giving back. That's sometimes the language. But when you ask the communities, they would probably say, well, maybe if we collaborated and you treated us as stakeholders, we'll tell you how best to give back to us. And that that attitude goes a long way.
Absolutely, because I also think we've got to help our communities to be self-sustainable.
Yeah.
So if your mine then decides to leave because they've now done what they had to do, then you leave a sustainable community behind that can look after itself and that can continue to, you know, to grow. So and for me, that's such an important part, is that I think that sometimes organizations forget. You know, we need to create that sustainability, not just in South Africa, but across the entire Africa continent.
What's the impact like for those who are, you know, those stakeholders, those communities? You know, what feedback do you get from them for those who get to experience a company that's really committed?
I think, not think, I know, you know, when we look at ESG reporting, and I was listening to your previous conversation and to our, you know, what happened geopolitically with us. I think what's happening, though, if I can say, not think, I feel it every time I'm in Africa and every time I speak to some of the leaders, is that there's this feeling that, that we as Africa now needs to lead. And your question to me was, what is happening in those communities? Now, if I look at some of the organizations, and I'm even speaking as far out as Nigeria with Aliko Dangote and the work that they do as well, is that those communities, you know, has prospered. They've actually become self-sustainable. You know, and if I can go back to Aliko Dangote with their farmers, you know, and their supply chain. So what they had to learn is that they had to train, they had to retrain their supply chain. They had to because if I was a farmer, my dad used to farm and I learned from him and he learned from his dad and he learned from his dad. So we didn't have all of this technology that we have today. So what Aliko Dangote had to do was empower his farmers so that they could continue to deliver a superior product, which then also give him a competitive edge in the market. You know, so these are all of the things that from a shared value perspective, when you are practicing shared value as an organization that you need to look at.
Hope I answered
your question.
Yeah. how do you make companies prioritize shared value in difficult economies? For instance, they may say, look, right now our priority is to keep jobs. You know, the economy is not great. We're struggling. Lots of consideration about letting people go, to hold on to staff. That's our priority. Everything else, you know, will follow. And I suppose it's difficult times, and one may understand that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because the thing is, what we try and do with organizations, because it's quite scary if you want to change your entire strategy. So what we're trying to recommend to organizations is start with a project or with an initiative where you can actually show your results. And therefore, within doing that, you can then convince those that haven't been convinced before to show them there is a return on investment. So once you take that step, you can go to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, and build on that.
I really think this is fantastic. Let's talk about the EU Africa Summit 2025.
Yes, so that is happening, and thank you for asking about that. So the EU African Summit is on the 19th and the 20th of June. So it was initiated by the European Union, the Entrepreneurship Forum. So what they want to do is they want to strengthen the relationship. And I guess it's also, let's be honest, of what's happening geopolitically, to strengthen the relationship between Europe and Africa.
Yeah.
So the summit brings from Europe, it will bring investors from Europe. And what the EU Entrepreneurship Forum has done, they've did a call out for young entrepreneurs across Africa. And they've selected, I think the number is about, at this stage, is about 18 of them that will then present in a B2B session to these entrepreneurs their different initiatives in order to try and secure funding for that. So for us, I'm just saying for us, we want to try and help those entrepreneurs because one of our big focus audiences is entrepreneurs and supporting them, because I believe so strongly that Africa is where we're building the global future. So we've got to support those young people. And for us, when they came to us and said, well, we help them to organize this, you know, we took the opportunity because we thought we could put our entrepreneurs in front of investors, you know, to try and get their businesses to scale.
Let's talk about how people can be a part of it. Is it too late for anybody to join in? How does it work?
No. You have to come. You've got to come. Excellent. I think that the entrepreneurs have been selected already because they come from across the continent. They come from Nigeria and Kenya, Ethiopia. They're all over. So the entrepreneurs have been selected. But, I mean, there's still lots of space for people to come. What's happening is that I've just got notified today by Stefan and them from the EU that they are going to sell the tickets now for something like $25 for those who want to come. So, and it's over 2 days. It's on the 19th and the 20th, but the 19th is a half a day in the afternoon where they introduce all of these investors, you know, and I always say all the important people.
Yeah.
and then the 20th is the day that you cannot miss. It's going to be really group of young entrepreneurs. We want young entrepreneurs to come and see how your peers are performing in front of these investors. Hear the questions that investors are asking, so that one day when you sit in front of that investor, that you know what I mean, you can relate to what you've learned from these sessions.
Tiki, all the best, and thank you so much for talking to us. And really, thank you so much for establishing this shared value Africa. I think it has really gone a long way in pushing our value system forward, even as we do business. So thank you very much for talking to us this evening.
Thank you very much to you and your listeners. And I just want to say that we turned 7 on Sunday on Africa Day.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Thank you so much, Tiki.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Tiki Bernard is the founder and CEO of Shared Value Africa.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.